Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
My man John Leyva, the most talented sports photographer I've known. Followed by high school student Aiden Hicks, who's unbelievable. Sends me a tweet. The Shakira concert left the field in tatters on October 11th. Not exactly sure why John's following the Shakira tour, but...
Oh, Shakira was in Mexico City.
Well, hips do not lie. And...
Ladies up in here tonight.
You know what I'm saying? You see Shakira out at Estadio Azteca.
No fight.
Nothing is going to be left.
The immigrants back. I don't need no favors.
Oh, 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 a little wide clap with girls that.
There goes the 10-yard line. There goes the 15.
How famous is famous? I'm so famous, I made Beyonce famous.
Hey, things are just flying all over the place here.
Got my eye on her hips.
Oh.
Mexico City.
It was Shakira and 17 soccer games that were held, but yes. I don't know. So, thank you, John, for your Shakira update.
Right.
But they have moved the game to Los Angeles, which is the right thing to do. They'll take a little heat from it, but
Shakira.
At the end of the day, it's by far the best regular season game of the year, at least on paper, and. Now it's going to be in Los Angeles. It's going to be perfect. There'll be like 100,000 people there. The pasty folk from Kansas City are just having to, you know, change their Southwest flight. They'll be okay. They'll get to Los Angeles.
So they're going Mexico City on Southwest.
I don't know. Can you fly to Mexico City on Southwest?
Think so.
No,
I don't think so.
What air flight would you take from Kansas City to? Mexico City. What would that
Kansas
airline
City?
Be? Is that just
maybe
like
American?
American?
Oh, stop okay. In Dallas or something. And I don't know.
Oh, you can't fly direct?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I'd be asking
plenty of questions here.
I just found out Mexico City is 72 hours by burro from the border of Mexico.
And tell him I.
My main man, Philip Scott, texted me, said that. L.A. to Mexico City is 1,800 miles, equivalent to driving Denver to Boston.
The world's a big place. The world's a big place. We're a small,
30-hour minimum.
We're a small part of it, apparently.
If they're there early to partake in any of the activities there in Mexico City, game's been moved.
God. Mike McIntyre. Oh, wait, we did get a statement from CU. Here is the statement. This was at 11 o'clock this morning about the coaching rumor. This is from Rick George through Dave Platty. Quote, we do not comment on speculation or unsubstantiated rumors.
There you go.
With anonymous sources. Let me just say, I have made no decisions regarding the future of the football program. As I've stated in the past, we continually evaluate all aspects of all of our 17 intercollegiate sport programs. Somehow, I think Whitmore is okay in the cross-country program. That's just a guess. How's the volleyball going? Volleyball okay over at CU?
Yeah, I think they're fine. How's soccer?
Men's or women's?
There's only one scholarship.
Oh, that's true. They're both okay.
Okay.
He's not looking at club teams, correct? This is only the intercollegiate teams.
It ain't intramurals.
It's not intramurals. It ain't in the murals.
It ain't in the murals. It's the Big 12. It's Division One football.
First, thanks to, you know, Pasta J.
God, I think we actually missed Dan Hawkins. No, I'm a little bummed about the news, and it feels totally different than the Dan Hawkins time, and it feels totally different than the John Embry time.
He's just such a decent guy, just such a decent man, and humbled in his approach at coaching at the University of Colorado.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
I pull for all those guys, man. It's a hard job when winning in college football. You got to put 38 points on the board every week, college football.
Minimum.
College football, you have to put 38 points on the board every week.
Oh, my God. There are my Syracuse Orange rated number 12 in the country in football.
Woo! Yeah, baby!
You got to be kidding.
Look at my Orange, number 12. You know who they're playing this weekend? You know who the Syracuse Orange are playing this weekend, Alfred?
Who?
Notre Dame. You know where they're playing them? Yankee Stadium.
Advantage.
Syracuse.
Notre Dame.
No.
Oh, sorry.
It's like a home game for Syracuse. Do you know how many people work in New York City?
You know how many people that support?
Forget it.
You know, right now.
Home game for the Orange.
Before we go any further, Colorado ranks right now 28th in 28 points per game on offense. And they give, in the last three games, 29 points. Oklahoma is the leading scorer in college football. They average 49 points a game. Utah State, 48-9. Alabama, 48-8. Clemson, 45-4. Houston, 45-3. Central Florida, 45. Syracuse averages 42.4 points per game.
Hey, now!
Memphis, 42.2. Ohio State, 40.6. Those are the top 10 scoring teams in the country. West Virginia, 39.5.
It's awesome scoring 40-something points. I watched my...
You got to win. You got to score 38 points to win consistently.
My QB Dungy is lighting it up for the Orange.
Yeah.
Shocking that Memphis can score that many points with eight plays in their playbook.
Just got to run those eight plays really good.
Run them
well. Who has even less plays than that? Georgia Tech. Triple option left. Triple option right. Throw a pass every now and then, but basically we hand it to the fullback. The quarterback keeps it or he tosses it. It doesn't have to be difficult, but what kind of players will you consistently recruit? We could win at the University of Colorado if we just went back to triple option. Nobody will know how to defend it. Nobody. No coaches are out there defending the triple option. Why do you think Georgia Tech and Air Force do fairly well every year?
How's the CU Mafia today? Was it buzzing? Was there phone calls and texts?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Was there just all you guys buzz,
yes.
buzz?
I'm like, man, at 6:45 this morning, what's going on? I'm like, hey, man, you know what it is?
You guys are the buzziest,
You got to win, man. You know, you got to win. You got to win conference games. You got to have
Seriously, how many postseason. How many guys did you hear from today?
I don't know, 7, 8. And then there was just some, I just looked at my phone and was like, yep, get to you later. And I'll call him after the show. But, I mean, what do you want me to say?
I have no suggestions.
I've been saying this, though, about scoring 38 points in college football now, I think, for 5 years. If you're not going to put up 38 points consistently in college football, you're going to have a hard time winning 8 games.
All right, well, we'll see what happens there. Oh, by the way, I know you're dying for this information. Syracuse is also nationally ranked basketball, too. So my school has a nationally ranked basketball and football team.
Syracuse, man, 42.4 points a game. 6-2.
My man Connor wants to chime in on the other big news of the day. That's Le'Veon Bell. Yes, Connor, you're on the fan. Hi.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Super.
There we go. I like to hear that. Hey, so with Le'Veon not reporting today, I just wanted to see what your guys' take on the whole situation is. Is he better off holding out and trying to find a new pay structure for running backs everywhere, or should he just set up his contract to get crazy incentives and make it happen that way?
Well, he's not Sally Field trying to, you know, stand up for, you know, migrant workers or something, whatever that movie was. he's looking out for the best for Le'Veon Bell. He's not trying to take a stand for, you know, future running backs of America. The FBA.
Hmm?
The FRBA.
There you go.
Sorry. So how it works out for him, he's in a unique situation. He's arguably the top running back in the NFL, and he just had a work stoppage to guarantee himself more money. There's only a handful of guys ever that Von Miller could have been one of them.
Von Miller was going to be one of those guys.
And Le'Veon's one, and he probably did the best thing for his health, the length of his career, as long as he's okay not being a Pittsburgh Steeler anymore.
And so let me explain this to a lot of people out there who are just now joining the show. I have to start with the most obvious contract that's out there, and that's Todd Gurley's contract, which he signed a four-year, $57 million contract. In that four-year, $57 million contract, he got a signing bonus of $21 million. Okay, so Le'Veon's salary was not $21 million. And on top of that, he got in guarantees $45 million. $45 million in guarantees, which means that at the end of the day, that's what this deal is all about, the $45 million. It's not about this year and the risk of losing the ability to top the $45 million, maybe 46, maybe 47 on the open market. He's that good. He's going to get that money, and somebody's going to be happy. And I think the team that deserves Le'Veon Bell more than anybody else, the Green Bay Packers. Quite honestly, they have the most money to give him with the best quarterback situation. And I think he changes that team forever into a championship-caliber team. So that's where I think he ends up, and I think the guarantees of $45 to $50 million is right in line with the contract that was just signed last year with Todd Gurley. So that's how I would deal with this.
All right.
Solid move from Le'Veon Bell. I know the fantasy football players out there don't like it.
Fantasy fans are okay.
Yeah.
Here's why. Because I drafted Le'Veon Bell in one of my fantasy drafts. We've moved on.
Okay.
You know, it's we're deep.
Season's over with.
Well, yeah, I just beat Cecil again in regular season fantasy play. I'm in first place again in the Fan Fantasy League. We have moved on from Le'Veon Bell.
You are my champion, D-Mac.
Thank you, Cecil. I'm not bragging. I'm just describing. And nobody cares. Albert, you're from Mexico City, is that right?
That's true.
All right.
Correct.
And you live here in Colorado now?
Yeah, been living here since 84, since a year after Elwood was drafted.
All right. What's wrong with Stadio Azteca? You guys just...
Estadio Azteca. Hi, Big Al.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? How you doing?
¿Qué pasa?
¿Qué pasa?
Hey, no, just to kind of let you know a little bit note on that. Well, there's two factors there on the Aztec Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, it has to do with the weather. It's been raining like crazy.
Right.
And the drainage, it's not properly since it's, you know, raining a lot. It's been not working very well for the weather to drain correctly. And the other factor is that two soccer teams that are sharing the same stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of tough to, you know, to keep it up.
If you like the
Rams and the Chargers will
at
have.
Some point.
Exactly.
Right. So
yeah.
If they, and you play twice a week, but you have a home and away game, but that means minimum there are two games there a week, correct?
Exactly. And there's another tournament. Well, there was another tournament where the soccer team play with the second division soccer teams. There was a competition there. So it's been probably more than two games.
So it's ridiculous. If they
right.
really
yeah. got overused.
And soccer,
exactly.
the cleats are different than football cleats. And in soccer, you play the entire field. In football,
exactly.
you actually use a very narrow length of the field. And in soccer, that just doesn't get worn down as much. So you can play soccer games there, even if the stadium's kind of in crappy shape. In football, by the second half, the field would be destroyed. There would
yeah,
be
exactly.
no field.
And then I don't know if Al was in the 95 Broncos team where they went to play in the Estadio Azteca.
Yeah.
You were there, Albert?
I was. I was.
Oh, yeah. It's totally different now. I mean, I went to that game, and, you know, I'm a CU Buff follower, and then actually I took my son this Saturday to one of his first game to watch the CU, and then I was, you know, I was graduated from TJ, Thomas Jefferson. I went with Daniel Graham.
Okay. All right, my man.
So, being a local kid now. But, yeah, I went to that game, but now the feel, it's totally different.
Why are you embarrassed for your home country? Do you care? Is it a big deal? Does it matter? Does anybody care down in Mexico if the game's not there?
And then he just hung up.
I would imagine if you are...
Was I pressing too hard there?
No, I think that you asked a really good question because...
Do you care?
Do you care? I would tell you from a sporting perspective... If we were getting a World Cup qualifier type event here in Denver.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you. And they canceled it?
They canceled it.
I wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care?
I would not care.
Mm.
So I know where you're going. Say it's Germany.
I mean, this is a world event.
Gotcha. It's Germany against...
USA.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
And the stadium is destroyed and they have to go somewhere else?
What if it's CU versus CSU first game of the year?
And they have to move the stadium?
Yeah, because
to where?
I don't know. They have to choose one of the...
Is the game still on TV?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Well, I guess you...
The soccer thing was a better example because you're pointing out something that very rarely happens and is an international event. It'd be a better example if it was like Germany against... Brazil, like a big time game, because this is certainly a big time game, but there's no obvious local connection that I or most fans have. Now, I'm not telling you that game wouldn't be sold out. If they had Germany against Brazil here in Denver, I guarantee you that game would be freaking sold out. It's just that I wouldn't care. Would you?
I would care if I was coming here from Germany.
No. We were asking how people in Mexico feel about it. Just like regular people.
I'm so proud of everything that happens around here. I'm just so proud of everything that happens around here. When things don't happen the right way, I don't like it. I get phone calls around the country when things don't work out the right way
Do you care?
Yes, I care. I guess I'm like, telling you that because
somebody,
I care.
Why would somebody who's a sports fan in Mexico...
Like, what happened to you? I would get phone calls a day from about 15 or 20 people saying, what happened to the stadium, man? Like, if it starts snowing, the first game that is where it's snowing on television, I'll get 10 phone calls from around the country.
You know what? We better be more specific with this example. Because we're talking about an international event if it was a World Cup qualifier. What if it was just Manchester United against Arsenal and they were doing a match? That's a league. That's English Premier League.
Right, right.
And let's be honest. That's what the NFL is. It's the National Football League. English Premier League. And it was Manchester United against Liverpool.
No, I don't think that it
would have Arsenal. The same effect. Arsenal would make more sense, right? Because Stan Kroenke would have an influence, right? And he brought Arsenal to play Man U here at the stadium, at Broncos Stadium at Mile High, not Dick's Sporting Goods Park, which would be weird because he owns that. But let's say he puts it at the big stadium. Would you care if that game got canceled?
Is it July?
Sure.
Yes,
No. It's during their season. So their season runs from it's like a hockey season, like October through May. So it's in November.
No.
It's this weekend.
No.
You wouldn't care.
No,
so
not
why
this
do you
weekend.
Think people in Mexico care?
I don't know, because maybe I'm a bigger football fan than I lead.
Yeah, they
on.
Probably don't really care that much. What this really is
if
about
this was
the
soccer, then it probably care. Probably would care more.
This is the NFL trying to penetrate that market. Now, if you're playing Arsenal against Man U, that game would be sold out. That game would have 70-something thousand people at it, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And you'd have people traveling from all around the world to come.
All around the world. but the local people would probably. So I don't think it's really that big of a deal.
I think when that stadium opens up in Las Vegas, when that stadium really opens up in Las Vegas, they're going to get all kinds of games that other cities would just love to have.
I will tell you, though, too.
It's going to be, when they open the stadium in Los Angeles, they're going to get sporting events other cities would love to have.
I'll tell you this, too.
I'd like
you
to be one of those cities.
A moron if you sink $1 billion into a stadium and you don't have a retractable roof.
Right.
And you can't hold multiple events at that stadium.
And it's used all year.
Can I give you the worst stadium in America? Because they built it relatively new and they blew it. Is that piece of garbage in the Meadowlands. Oh, that is the worst new stadium.
That is so dumb that they would have two NFL teams play in there with
that
the inclement weather that they have and single uses for just basically football.
It's ridiculous. It's too big. It's got no charm whatsoever. It's out to all the, it's got non-retractable loop.
I mean, and
it costs them an absurd amount
like
of money.
Like close to $2 billion.
It's
a billion and a half.
It's a terrible stadium. It's terrible. The future for stadiums.
Is what Kroenke is about to do.
Yes.
And what Jerry Jones has done.
Smaller.
70,000, 75,000, and plenty of. Did you see what happened now with the Golden State Warriors?
I was just going to bring that up.
They have $100
season.
Per month.
Okay, is it per month?
Per month. Okay. $100 per month to walk into the stadium to come hang out and chill. I think I would do that.
No seat. No promise.
But you get
that
to go to the sports bar in the new stadium, hang out, chill. Right. And, you know, walk around the concourse, right. But you don't have a seat.
Right. but you're in there.
You're in. If it's the place to be,
yeah.
You want to be in there. The Cowboys have proven that that works. Guess who else has proven that works? The Colorado Rockies.
Brilliant. The fact that you can walk around the entire stadium and just stand and watch the game behind the yellow line from almost anywhere is fantastic. It's fantastic. And the rooftop, great. You're going to see more stadiums like that. The Meadowlands, that place is a joke. It's a terrible state. It's cost them $1 billion. Two teams shared. It's in a place nobody wants to go to, by the way. It's not even close, really close to New York City, okay? The players certainly don't live in Manhattan, or probably most of them don't. Terrible stadium. So how about this, Al? The NFL should not put NFL games at stadiums that are not NFL worthy. Period. Okay, so forget
does that include
about
London because a lot of that turf was just coming up.
I would include. Would include Wembley on that. It doesn't look like they can hold the games that well. And I don't know if they're in a rush to build stadiums like we have here in America.
Does that include our friends up in Canton?
Yes, they canceled that game.
Well, they rebuilt the stadium though. But I wouldn't have the Hall of Fame game in Canton. I think Canton's a stupid place to have the Hall of Fame game and the induction ceremony. I think you should
think
have
everybody.
That's not going
to
change.
I think everybody who you look to make your team should not play in that game.
Can I say something that sucks? Our stadium here is, and they've tried so hard, okay? And they've put millions in improvements, and they've made it probably as good as they can. It's a bad
stadium. It should have been a dome.
It's a bad stadium.
Should have been a dome.
You go down to Glendale, you want to see state of the art?
Mm.
You go to Indianapolis? Oh, my God. You go see that new joint down
there
in Atlanta?
Houston Texan Stadium.
You go to Houston? Dude.
Arizona Stadium is
unbelievable.
Nice.
Unbelievable. And we just made our stadium.
It would have cost a little more, but it would have been ahead of its time if we would have just domed that. We would have got a Super Bowl.
Retractable is the way to go. But we didn't do it for whatever reason. And I don't know. And by the way, I thought, you got to have it downtown. You got to have it downtown. They built that Space Dome out there in Glendale. They're just building around it.
Yeah.
It used to be in the middle of nowhere. Now there's tons of things around that. I mean, it's still a little bit from downtown Phoenix, but that's a place to go, that Glendale Peoria area now. It used to be nothing. Now there's a ton of stuff over there. wait till we see what happens out in L.A. And we just blew it. We had that opportunity. We can't even get a...
Well, they're going to make all these improvements around the stadium. Are they really?
Is that really going to happen?
Well, of course there's going to be redevelopment. I mean, it's got to be. It's just a natural progression of things.
I've just been hearing about it.
D-Mac, do you know that the Gaylord is going to change the way that Denver operates business out there on the east side of town? Period.
I don't even know what that means, the Gaylord.
Do you not know about the largest hotel that is being built here in Colorado?
Where's it going?
It's right next to the airport. It's basically connected to the airport.
Yeah, that's smart. That's where you should put things, near the airport. Why? Because that's where people go to and from. Has anybody been to the airport recently? I have. Yeah. There's a lot of open space near the airport. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how much open space there is out there at the airport. If you haven't been out to the airport anytime soon, you should see it. They've done a great job.
You think maybe the reason that we don't have a name on the stadium is because they're looking to do a new stadium?
No, they're definitely not looking to do a new stadium. They're keeping every... No.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll get back to your calls. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3.
We want the Fan. Thank you, Big Voice Guy. I should learn his name. He's on the air all the time. Tony? His name's Tony. Thank you, Tony. His name's Gabriel. All right, Gabriel. Want to thank Ted's for feeding the crew today. Thumbs up, everybody, from Ted's, for sure.
Delicious.
It's Ted's Tuesday. And Ted's is open on Thanksgiving. And they have just all the Thanksgiving food you could imagine. And they also have things that go moo. So bison moo? Probably not. But steaks and bison and all that stuff. It's great seafood. And all the Thanksgiving stuff is there. So, hey, man, think about Ted's for Thanksgiving. And we thank them for feeding the crew. We always appreciate it. And you're getting so worked up about the CU stuff.
Don't get worked up. It's just going to take care of itself. And I think that Troy did a favor for somebody within the University of Colorado's athletic department by putting a story out there.
I would guess it's the athletic director.
You know, you give it to somebody in Denver.
Comments.
You don't give it to somebody in Boulder.
Well, his comments were, I've made no decisions regarding the future of the football program, and then this is Rick George. Then he lumps in, all of our 17 intercollegiate sport programs. This is really silly. Like, if you looked at a chart of how much money the football program brings in compared to everything else, it would be a red line all the way to 100 and then little dots underneath it for the 16 other sport teams. I mean, no joke. CU football may bring in 50 times as much as any of the sports teams, except maybe for basketball. And even basketball, they probably make 20 to 30 times as much as the basketball program. So this statement right here tells me McIntyre is in big trouble. Because you're trying...
I think the tennis team does.
Right. No revenue. You lose money.
Volleyball?
You lose money in everything else.
Lacrosse.
They don't have an intercollegiate. They have a D1 lacrosse. They don't have a D1. I think it's club. I certainly know they don't
have
a baseball team.
Women's lacrosse.
Yeah, that's true. Is it Division I? Is it intercollegiate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ASU has women's lacrosse now, too. but they don't have baseball. It doesn't matter. The football is what generates all the money. Joel Klatt, my man Joel. Joel has famously said when he would meet athletes at CU that played other sports, he would just walk up to them and say, "You're welcome." Because that's Joel being Joel. But he's right. So if it's not working, it's not working. I'm sorry to see that it's not working. You and the rest of the CU Mafia had a vibe on this a long time ago.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
What?
We have Utah where we can become bowl eligible. I hope everybody goes out to that game. That's the last home game.
Yeah, that would be great. Beat Utah. That'd be awesome. Right.
By the way, not a rivalry.
No, that's for sure.
Okay.
Right.
And then we play at Cal. And I think I'm going to be at that game.
Nice. But win them both.
Win them both.
I'm not anxious to see McIntyre be fired.
No. Hey, let me ask you this.
But it seems like it's just a done deal.
Let me ask you this. You remember last year during the Super Bowl, we saw Le'Veon Bell. Excuse me. We saw Kirk Cousins walking through the crowd. Do you think that Le'Veon Bell would do the same thing this year?
Yes.
He's going to go to the Super Bowl and talk up his situation, create a buzz, talk to as many teams
stations. Yeah, well, yes. That'll be in Atlanta. It'll be in February. It'll be a month away from free agency, sure. Yeah, we'll probably
He's
going to
be doing radio interviews, talking about, do you think that he'll do an interview with us?
Well,
I'm going to say probably not.
I don't think he's likely to be here.
That's right.
If that's what you're asking.
Right. So he has these.
We'd be insane to spend that kind of money on Le'Veon Bell.
Would the Packers be insane?
I think any team would be insane, to be quite honest with you. But I'm sure
Are the Rams insane?
No, Todd Gurley's. Well, what if they spent? Well, he's unbelievable.
He's the highest paid running back in football.
He is? Okay, he deserves it. The dude is ridiculous.
So
Maybe the Packers, they're definitely missing something. Le'Veon Bell can do it all. But we've got a guy, but the Steelers aren't upset about James Conner. He's doing great.
He's doing great. Best year ever up to this point from any running back ever. But
McCaffrey is doing so well that the Panthers let go of C.J. Anderson. Do you have any doubts that Philip Lindsay is going to have this kind of
effect?
Yeah, I think so. And Royce Freeman, we love him too, right?
Yep.
And Devontae Booker, for all the critics, in his role, he's been doing fine.
Let me ask you this. And
we're set in that department.
We probably won't get an interview with Le'Veon Bell about his free agent hopes. If we had Matthew Stafford and we were 3-6, would you say that Vance Joseph needs to be fired?
You can get to that answer on the other side. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
So Cecil Lammy got destroyed by me in fantasy football in our family, but supposedly he does know things about fantasy football. You can ask him why he's losing to me again tomorrow night starting at 7 from Famous Dave's Barbecue at Arapahoe and Parker. The Cecil special is $10.43. Hang out with Cecil and really, seriously ask him what he's thinking when he plays me in fantasy football. By the way, Cecil is part of the Fan War Room, as was Alfred, Mike Pritchard, Brandon Stokely, Orlando Franklin, and Zach Bye. That will be replayed tonight in about 12 minutes. Looking forward to that. I was not asked to be on this War Room, Alfred.
Well, I'll tell you.
Which is fine. I'm not insulted.
This football season has caught a lot of us by, off guard. It really has. You heard frustration, you heard anger, you heard disappointment, you heard the fans, and we've heard them through 9 weeks, and I get it, but at the same time, I look at the two men that are going head to head against each other, People say that Vance Joseph didn't have enough time as a coordinator. He was a coordinator for a full year after being a defensive backs coach, I think 13 or 14 years in this in the NFL. Anthony Lynn was an interim. He was an offensive coordinator and then interim head coach for the Bills for less time than Vance was a defensive coordinator. And the only difference between the two guys, I know both of them really well. Both of those guys, I know both of those guys really well. The only difference is Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, has Philip Rivers, and Vance Joseph doesn't. It's the only difference. One guy has job security until Philip Rivers retires.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy is on the hot seat. So that's how it goes in this business. You are tied to your quarterback. You are attached to his hip. And if you have a good quarterback, you have a great chance. So I'll ask you again. If you are the Detroit Lions and you have Matthew Stafford and you're sitting at 3-6 and you're management, what do you see in Matt Patricia that tells you that things are going to work out?
Well, hopefully I did my due diligence before I hired him. But I'm not going to judge a coach based off his rookie year. I'm going to understand there's growing pains, not only in the first year, but likely second year as well. I'm going to be a smart ownership group. I'm going to make detailed and research decisions, and then I'm going to stick to my plan. So I'm not hesitating about Matt Patricia whatsoever, because there's something I did to own the Detroit Lions, and I'm a smart person, and I know what I'm doing. My ownership is solid, my GM is solid, and we made a combined coaching decision, and we're going to stick to our plan. And if you waver off that, you are a lousy management team.
Would you consider trading Matthew Stafford?
Sure. You're 3-6. There's all sorts of things you could consider. Sure.
Would you like to have Matthew Stafford part of the Broncos?
No, it makes no sense, because that means we would be abandoning our plan.
Dude.
We would be throwing our plan in the trash can, and it would mean nothing. Alfred, you either have a plan and you stick to it, or you're garbage.
Sometimes the plan changes.
When you get Peyton Manning, the change. It can't change that much.
When you get Peyton Manning, the plan changes. When you get Matthew Stafford, the plan changes. When you get Joe Flacco, the plan changes.
You made a commitment to Case Keenum. You got to ride it out.
No, you don't.
All right. Then you want to be a garbage management team.
Whatever.
That's
dude.
What you like.
What makes them a garbage team if all
making,
of a sudden an upgraded player becomes available?
Herky jerky changes and not. You really stink at your job, because you couldn't evaluate Case Keenum the right way. You couldn't evaluate a coach the right way.
You couldn't see that the Baltimore Ravens or the Detroit Lions, for that matter, the Oakland Raiders, were going to be in the market to maybe move from their quarterbacks.
Alfred, if you stink at your job, then I don't know why I would give any faith in anything you do. I'd rather see you stick out your plan.
How do you know if somebody stinks at their job?
When they make ridiculous herky-jerky decisions.
You mean like signing Peyton Manning?
No, that made total sense.
So signing Matthew Stafford doesn't make total sense?
It does not, because
why?
The Broncos were committed. You have to understand Tebow got here.
Dude, you can't talk your way out of this.
I can if you give me a chance.
You literally asked
me a question,
I
can't answer the question.
I'll give you...
All right, go ahead. Why don't you just say what you want, then?
I'll give you the fact that you should have a plan and you should stick to it until there's a better plan. Now, what you're saying is, no, there's no better plan. This was your plan. Stick to it. That is dumb. That's not the way you look at things in life. That's not the way it goes. That's not the way it works. Sometimes there are better ways to do things than the old way or the original thought. So now you can go ahead and explain yourself.
When Tim Tebow was the quarterback here, John Elway did not obtain him. He was drafted by Josh McDaniels. Tim Tebow was never part of John Elway's plan. John Elway, once he got in charge, was left with Tim Tebow. And he hired John Fox. He built the puzzle. And he also had Brian Sanders as a general manager to help him out. John wasn't the general manager.
So, John was in control of football decisions.
So when they went for Peyton Manning, it absolutely was part of their plan in the first place, because they were never committed to Tim Tebow. They didn't draft him. That situation changed entirely when it came to Vance Joseph and Case Keenum. They were both brought in by John Elway and Matt Russell and Joe Ellis. That was absolutely their plan. And in the course of 2 years, they've had a chance to change every single assistant coach they wanted to. They've had chances to draft or keep quarterbacks they drafted in Paxton Lynch and obtain a free agent quarterback. So if you want to go get Matthew Stafford, that is the definition of herky-jerky and just adjusting as the wind blows. And I think that's a lousy way to manage any organization.
I'll tell you this. Joe Flacco is out there. Well, first of all, Case Keenum doesn't play like he did last week. Then, whatever. I'm going to get the best player available. And I don't care what you think or anybody else thinks.
No, you can do.
I'm going to get John the best player available.
You realize John Elway hasn't stuck to a plan. You realize that, right?
You know what? The plan changes based on the personnel that you have and injury.
John's had multiple coaches. Cannot figure out a quarterback, has had like four different right tackles, has a terrible left tackle, has traded Demarius when they should have traded Emmanuel. It's crazy how herky-jerky Elway's been. So try to stable it up.
I hear you, homeboy. I don't like your plan. I like mine better. For my partner, D-Max, for Big Sexy, and for Kyle Berry, I'm Big Al. Right. See you tomorrow at 3 on the Drive. Good night, everybody.